Hi, everyone. This is the regular SEBI monthly meeting of the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee. It is January 8th, 2013 at 5:46 p.m. Pacific, 8:46 p.m. Eastern. My name is Tracy Rosenberg. I'm a listener rep from KPFA. I'm the chair of this committee. We're going to start by calling the roll with our secretary, R. Paul Martin from WPAI. R. Paul, if you would.
Okay. Pardon me. Okay, Ken Aaron.
Here.
Jim Boyd.
Here.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
He was here.
Here, sorry.
Okay. Marcus Jeter.
Here.
Campbell Johnson.
Here.
Kim Kaufman.
Here.
Paul Martin here. Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Alex Steinberg.
Present.
Barbara Whipperman.
Here.
Everybody's here.
Okay, terrific. So for an agenda tonight, we have a fairly unambitious agenda. I will repeat what I said on the email for the purposes of the stream, which is that I have been making regular inquiries about getting updated financial statements. And once again, I was told that they're not quite there in the national office, and I apologize for that. I expressed some frustration and was basically told that there were competing priorities specifically around the audit that had to come first, and that they understood what all of our needs were as treasurers and as a finance committee, but that we would not be able to get anything additional for this meeting besides what people already have. So that's where we're at. So given that scenario, when I was thinking about an agenda for this meeting, I sort of came up with a draft. I don't know whether this will work for people, but it's just put out there as a possibility. Let's see. I don't have it in front of me right now. R. Paul probably does. Let me see if I can bring it up real fast. Meeting on Jan 8th. That's it. Okay. So the proposed agenda is that we take care of our minutes from the last meeting, that we do a brief check-in just on the officer elections timeline and the PNB committee timeline at each station, because that, of course, affects the makeup of the committee and the planned future meetings. And then I basically thought that we would just do a station-by-station check-in, which would basically involve each treasurer reporting on what they can report on, which I think is basically how the fund drives went in December, their sense of how the station is doing, any problems or concerns, prospects for the February drive, or whatever else they think is sort of cognizant. Obviously, at some of the stations, there's moving going on, and that's important. But I just thought that we'd basically do a station-by-station check-in with the information that we have available. That's what's out there. Does anybody want to modify, subtract, or move for approval?
Ken?
Yeah.
Ken, I'd like to add, right at the top after minutes, is a review of the timeline of who will be sitting when, even, for the, because four of the five stations have completed the election. So, a prospective timeline about who will be sitting on the committee when.
I think that's actually item 3 on the agenda. It's already there.
Okay, very good. Then isn't there some unfinished business motions which have never gotten through? Are there any dangling motions?
I didn't have any dangling motions. I went back and looked through the last couple of, minutes, and I didn't have any dangling motions. It's vaguely possible there are some if you go way, 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 way back.
But nothing for closed session either?
No. We dealt with Kim's motions that were brought up last time. We dealt finally with the event checklist, which was one of the items that we had left dangling.
Okay, great.
I don't know about dangling motions, but we had a motion we passed a long time ago that we never got action on.
Which is?
To get a breakdown case by case of legal expenses. Do you remember that one?
A breakdown case by case of legal expenses. I don't. When do you think that was?
Oh, it was at least 2 years ago.
Oh, my God. Okay, yeah, that goes outside of the span that I was looking at. But if you want to put that on as an agenda item, we can do that.
I think we should just reiterate it and send it back to the board.
Okay. Let's put on discussion of legal costs motion on the agenda is what I would suggest. And we can reiterate it or update it or forget about it or whatever the committee wants to do.
Question?
Yeah?
That sounds like it might be something that would need to be done in executive session.
Well, what's your thought about that?
Well, the response to that motion could be an executive session, but the motion itself is nothing in the motion that needs to be an executive session. Right. Yeah.
Okay, why don't we add it to the open session agenda, presumably as number 5, and if we get to a point where we feel like we have to stop the conversation and go to close, we can do that.
Okay.
Kim to the stack.
Yes, Kim.
I mean, I think we should go to closed anyways and approve those previous closed motions.
Right. And I think that we will. So it's not a problem to kick it into closed if we want to do that.
And this is Bill.
Yes, Bill.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any updates that we have yet or anything we need to discuss regarding finances of the WBAI and WPFW move and leases and all that stuff, but and I guess most of that would have to be an executive session anyway, but do we need to talk about anything in open session about that?
Yeah, our Paul brought that up too. My sense was that the treasurers could address that to the extent that they can in open session, and if they feel that there's aspects that need to be enclosed, we can simply kick it over.
Well, one thing about that is we probably, for WBAI and I assume for WPFW too, we probably need to revise the budget.
Because yes, I think we do.
The old budgets are based on assumptions that are no longer have anything to do with what's going on.
Yeah, a little less so with WPFW than with WBAI, because, of course, WPFW's plan was, you know, move was semi-planned, and WBAI's resulted from a hurricane, so it was not planned.
And I already brought this up with the general manager of BAI. He's more than willing to, you know, work on a new budget.
Okay, well, my intent was to some degree to address that at least as much as we could in open in the station-by-station check-in. I mean, that was kind of part of the intent of that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're willing for it to live in that part of the agenda.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. All right, any other changes or modifications to the agenda? Okay. Does anybody want to move for approval of the agenda as modified?
I move to approve.
Okay. Are there any objections to approvals? To approving? Okay. The agenda is therefore approved. All right. So that takes us to minutes. My guess is that we only have one set of open session minutes, so Art Paul, if you want to take us through the approval of those, that'll be fine. And I believe that you sent them out today.
Yeah, sent them out yesterday.
All right, whatever.
All right, so I'll make the motion. I move to approve the minutes of the December 11th NFC meeting.
Right, and then the meeting after that was Christmas Day, which we canceled for obvious reasons. Okay, are there any objections to the approval of the minutes of December 11th?
I'll be abstaining.
Okay, we will then go ahead and do a roll call. So, Art Paul, if you could call the roll on the approval of the minutes of 12:11.
Very good.
Okay. And somebody, I'm guessing it might be Ken, muting probably is helpful.
No, I think it's Alex.
It is. I'm sorry. I'm going to mute.
Okay.
Okay. To approve the minutes of the last meeting. Ken Aaron.
Yes.
Jim Boyd.
Yes.
Phil Crozier.
Yes.
Marcus Jeter.
Abstain.
Campbell Johnson.
Abstain.
Kim Kaufman. What are we voting on?
Approving the minutes. Yeah, I have to abstain, but I can't find them. I'm looking for them, but I...
R. Paul Martin, yes. Tracy Rosenberg.
Yes.
Alex Steinberg.
Yes.
Barbara Whipperman.
Abstain.
And that's it. And so it is 6-4-0 against 4 abstentions.
Okay, that will do. All right, so that brings us to item 3 on the agenda, which is basically just a sort of a check-in with each station about the elections of new treasurers, what the timeline looks like, and also whatever sense we have of the PNB committee assignments, and I'm not sure that we really have one at this point. I don't think that's likely until at the latest the end of February at the in-person, but I'm willing for people to correct me if they think that I'm wrong about that. So why don't we just go to each station and people can just tell us what the latest is in terms of when they think the treasurer position will turn over, if it's going to turn over. In some cases, it may be the incumbent is just going to continue. Where should we start? Let's start in Texas.
Okay. Bill, want me to do this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Whichever one he wants to do it, I mean, you know, don't fight.
Okay. Yeah, I was elected treasurer for another year.
Great.
Oh, and, okay, so it's official. Okay.
That was great. You don't show up at the meeting and they elect you. It's just, I like this. It's just democracy stuff.
Congratulations.
Tomorrow we have a meeting that will elect the PNB members. And so right now we don't have any members on the national board. But that should be decided by tomorrow.
Okay, well, we know that Bill will be leaving us because he's termed out. Let me finish my sentence. That said, I don't think that the committee assignments will be set for some time, so Bill, you'll probably be with us for at least another meeting or two. So we will do some formal goodbye process later on.
Okay.
And I do want to do some acknowledgement of the people that will be with us no more. We need to be nicer about that, the way that we say goodbye. But anyway, okay, so that takes care of Houston. How about D.C.? Marcus or Campbell, whichever one of you wants to go first.
Okay, I'll go first. We have our LFB meeting tomorrow, which there'll be a new treasurer. And is that all we're reporting on now is the seating?
Yeah, probably the switching over of the treasurer position and what the approximate timeline is on that. Because like with the PNB committees, we just don't know yet. There's not a whole lot to say.
There'll be a treasurer tomorrow. Vote on that tomorrow. And then the PNB business, I don't think we know.
Right.
Campbell.
Campbell? You want to add anything or? Guess not.
Let me say about the PNB stuff, that sitting directors stay in place until the first in-person PNB meeting of the new PNB.
Absolutely, and it's unlikely that the PNB will make committee assignments, you know,
until after
the new board is seated. Yeah, I mean,
they have to meet first, so yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose we could, as a courtesy, invite some of the people are newly elected to sit in on our meetings if they want, but they wouldn't be able to be voting members.
No, absolutely not. We will have a policy of probably inviting new and old treasurers if they're making a transition, but only the seated treasurer at that moment in time can vote on behalf of that station. But if there's a treasurer transition, which is not the case in Houston, and might or might not be the case in D.C., we can certainly have the old and new treasurers come to one meeting together. If they both want to. Okay, so So that takes care of Washington. Unless Campbell, are you back? Doesn't sound like it. Okay, so let's go to New York.
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Do you want to add anything to what Marcus said, or?
No, not on that. On the in regard to the relocation situation, though, you know, have okay. something to add.
Definitely, that's the next agenda item. So we'll go around the horn on that shortly, but not quite yet. Okay, New York about seating and treasurers.
Our Paul can pipe up. Yes, tomorrow we have the WBII local station board meeting, and we'll be voting on the officers then. We will also be voting on the directors tomorrow night. So all that happens tomorrow night in New York.
Okay.
I'm coming out, so I'm going to disappear. But
sooner or later,
yeah. Sir, the bill.
But you're stuck with me until February sometime.
Right.
Okay, so we might or might not have new treasurers from D.C. and New York. We don't know yet. But we will know by the end of the day tomorrow. Okay. Sounds good. That brings us to L.A.
Oh, we have no idea here. We're clueless.
You guys are...
It's really bad. It's just hopeless.
Yeah, the dates seem to keep changing around and everything else. Okay, well, we'll keep us posted when you find things out, and we'll assume the status quo until we hear something different, I guess. Ken, do you want to add anything?
Sorry, I was on mute. No, we don't know. They might extend the elections. They might not. Oh, no, we don't know.
Okay, you're in a state of confusion. Okay,
yes.
That sounds good. Okay, so... Same thing applies when things turn over. Kim, if you're not the treasurer going forward, feel free to attend the first meeting after the transition and,
right.
you know, help.
I mean,
help.
At the most, it looks like nothing's going to change for at least, I think, 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I just want to make sure that everybody knows kind of what's going on and that we just inform each other so we don't, you know, have to spend time on quibbles about who's on the committee and who's not on the committee. That's kind of the purpose of doing this. Okay, so that brings us to KPFA. Barbara?
And our LSB meeting is this coming Saturday, and we will be doing all the different election processes.
Are you going to... Sorry.
That's okay, Kim. Yeah, I mean, as I understand it, on the agenda, we're going to do both, like WBAI. We're going to have, like, a double whammy meeting and do both at the same time. Or try to, hopefully. We'll see. It's not done until it's done.
Personalities in the in the middle.
yeah. So I don't know what will be. We might have a new treasurer, we might not. We'll have to see how that goes.
Well, I was just going to ask, are you going to run again, Barbara?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
What about you, Kim? So,
I'm in the middle of the election, Barbara.
So you, well, I just meant, did you know what you would be running again if you were elected?
I just want this election to be over and be determined.
Mm-hmm. One thing at a time, right? Okay. Well, so I guess we all know whatever it is that we all know. And thanks for doing that, and I think it's good both for the sake of the stream and just sort of for all of us to be going on the same information, so thanks everyone. And unless there's something further, I guess we are moving on to item 4, which is sort of a station-by-station check-in. And basically, I put out a couple of items that I thought the treasurers and the PNB reps might want to talk about in lieu of, as I said, not having the up-to-date accurate financial statements that we should have. On the East Coast stations, I'm sure that we will get into moving. On the rest of the stations, I think at a minimum, how the last funding went, thoughts about the one that's upcoming in January, February, any problems or concerns that, you know, one is experiencing, and, you know, if there's something else on your mind, by all means, you know, put it out there. And I think that's about all that we can do at this point in time. I'm sure that the financial statements will be forthcoming shortly,
moment we will get going on the fourth quarter, on the first quarter reviews and the year-end reviews that we should be doing now. But as I said, it's just not possible to do that right now. So we have to work with what we can work with. So let's go in the opposite order of what we did last time and start on the West Coast. Barbara, I don't want to put you on the...
No, I've got some little figures here that I, you know, got the latest scoop on a couple of things.
Go for it.
Our fund drive in December was pretty successful. We scheduled it for about 10 days and ended 2 days early. The goal was $275,000, and there was $283,000 pledged. And as of this date, there's been about a 64% fulfillment already. Over $183,000 has come in already.
Mm-hmm.
And our dates for the next drive, and I understand from the staff person I spoke to that it may still be under discussion, I don't know, but it's scheduled currently to start February 12th and go to March 1st. And our business manager feels like things are in pretty good shape. We talked very generally like that this afternoon quickly. And I know for a fact, not from discussing today, but other times I've come into the office and sort of helped her a little tiny bit with her backlog and been, you know, checking up on how things are going, her impression of how things are going in the national office. And in spite of the fact that we don't have the kind of statements we need and, you know, everything seems to be behind schedule, Maria's impression of how the unraveling of old records and getting things ready for the auditors, and the auditors are already there, of course, has all been going pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So there hasn't been... At this point, you know, any big hysteria about it. People are proceeding apace. So that's my report.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot to add. That sounds about right. The fund drive dates sound a little later than I thought things were going to get started, but as you said, that might still be under discussion. I know there's efforts to sort of synchronize the fund drive times, so presumably that's all getting worked out. I haven't heard the details. Because it was originally on the budgetary plan, which admittedly was like months ago, it was to start in late January. So it sounds like it's been moved up substantially. And I don't know whether that's...
I haven't been in on those discussions, and you know, it's a group of people who are addressing it, I know.
Yeah, it might be that it's being pushed up in order to synchronize. I don't know. But I guess we'll hear more about that soon. And, yeah, and the audit, as I understand it, started January 2nd, so they are about 5 days into it, 5 or 6. And I don't have anything else to add. Are there any questions from the rest of the committee? No, we stunned you into silence. Great. Okay, then I guess we will move on to Los Angeles.
This is Bill. I had a question. Sorry,
yeah.
I didn't unmute myself.
Sure.
Have there been any progress on cutting back expenses per this fiscal year's budget that we approved several months ago?
Well, we don't know any more about the comparison of our expenses to our budget than you know about yours. As far as the record keeping that we've been, you know, we haven't gotten back yet. So I can't answer that. You couldn't answer it about yourself either.
Just to kind of weigh in, the answer to the question, Bill, is I don't know, because I don't have a budget year to date. My anecdotal sense is that I haven't heard anything, so I doubt it, but we'll have to wait until we get a budget year to date and do that as our, you know, in our review, which is obviously not going to happen tonight.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? All right, that brings us to Los Angeles.
I have an issue that I want to bring up here. I can give a little report first and then deal with the issue.
Let's do the report first and then the issue at the end. Yeah.
Okay. The October drive was a little bit under. The December drive was a little bit, was about, they added a day. So it was a little bit over, but they added a day. According to the financials, which I'm just not sure, you know, obviously I don't know how accurate they are or not, but he's, you know, part of this he seems to be doing. I mean, we were before Central Services, 36,000 under budget or in the red.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what it is after Central Services. And he apparently $30,000 was spent on the first part of the transmitter, but for some reason he didn't put that on the financials. I can't imagine that that's something National has to do, but it's not on here. So even without Central Services, it looks like we would be $70,000 in a deficit, $75,000 without Central Services. So
you're going to have to probably cut expenses, it looks like.
Well,
which is kind of what we figured. Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're over budget on quite a few expenses here. I think one thing that happened is I suspect that possibly they held over some premium payments until October. So October premium payments was unusually large. So that put us, you know, under budget or over budget by October for premiums.
Oh, I see. That wasn't gotten in by the end of the fiscal year last year, and so, yeah.
I suspect.
That could be, yeah.
I mean, I've seen this before, so, you know, it makes last year not look so bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, could be. Okay, so what's your issue?
At the last LSB meeting, the chair mentioned, we were discussing this LSB fundraiser, and the chair mentioned that the interim development director had told him that KPFK was planning a fundraiser for the summer, and some of us expressed surprise, and I certainly did, this is not in the budget, what do you got planned here? And the general manager said he really had no idea what was going on. But he would find out and let us know. So I've been asking him for that information. He told me he would give it to me. I told him I'd like it before the NFC meeting tonight, and I didn't get it. So I have a feeling there's some little off-budget, event being planned that sounds awfully familiar and very scary. So I don't know what to do about getting information, which I haven't been able to get for an off-budget project.
Okay. I get that. To some degree, we're going to have to, you know, get some information before we can do much of anything, so keep trying to get information. And, okay, we'll kind of, what's the word, I guess, red tag that to, you know, check in with you at the next meeting and the next meeting and so on until you get some information. Are you done, or is there more?
I think that's the high spots.
Okay. Ken, do you have anything to add?
Sorry, I'm mute. Yes, just a point of clarification. If the GM was surprised, who was it that made the statement that there was going to be a KPFK fundraiser?
The chair that the development director, the interim development director, had told him about it.
Oh, okay. So I only had a point for really the committee because I have such a bad memory. We did approve of that motion that said there would be something written up to somebody, you know, to try to stop off-budget projects.
Yep.
We did approve that. And that was approved through the PMB.
We did approve it, and it's on the PMB agenda. And because of the fact that the Finance Committee was on top for so many meetings in a row due to all those budgets coming through, we are not on top no more. And, so it may be a little while until the motion comes up, but certainly by the summer it will. But it may not be until the in-person that motion surfaces at this point in time unless it gets moved up in some way.
Okay, thank you. That's all.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have a question. Does anybody else?
Bill.
Okay, go ahead, Bill.
Okay, well, I've heard that the your new transmitter has been ordered, but like you were saying, if there's no money showing up on the financial statements, I don't quite understand that, unless there's no payment required until it's shipped. Do you know?
No, the general manager told me that they'd made the first payment.
But it's not showing up on any of the financial statements?
I was going to ask about that, and I have a theory. But anyway, go on, continue.
But
excuse me, is this the payment for a transmitter?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's the deposit, yeah, the one-third deposit.
So, Kim, when you said it didn't show up on the financials, could you clarify what that means exactly? Was it on the general ledger, for example?
Say that again, Bill?
Could you clarify what you meant by saying it didn't show up on the financials? You didn't see any money being paid, I presume you meant, from the general ledger? Or?
Well, I saw a partial payment, not the payment they said they made in the general ledger, but none of it showed up on the financials. So I don't know.
Okay. What do you mean by financials? Could you clarify that?
Well, the financials are these monthly reports that the business manager makes.
Like an income statement?
It has the P&L. It has a little form of cash balance. It has the Memphis report.
Okay.
Don't you get those two?
Well, we get a summary income statement each month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which just shows categories of income and revenue and expenses. Well, I'm just wondering how you order something like that significant and it doesn't show up there.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't
Barbara
know. I don't know if it's something the National always does, put in that stuff or not.
I don't see how the National would know necessarily. I mean, it has to be done at the local level. I'm just glad it's ordered. I'm glad you're getting it.
I have no idea.
But,
you know, I have no idea.
Okay. I just want to make sure that the money's accounted for properly. And, I mean, I'm still concerned about the expense cuts that are mandated by the budget we passed a few months ago. Same as for KPFAs. I want to make sure that you don't end up going along several more months keeping spending money at an unsustainable rate and then have to make even more severe cuts by the end of the year.
Right. Well, clearly I'm also very concerned about, you know, them doing off-budget projects as well.
Okay. I'm going to call on myself, and then Barbara was on the stack. Is anybody else on the stack? No. Okay.
speaking for myself, my guess is that, you know, from my own experience with Anthony and his financial statements, and I will say I do appreciate the fact that Anthony is at least producing financial statements. At KPFA, we don't, you know, we haven't had a profit and loss statement since, God, August, because we're being told it can't be produced without the assistance of the national office. So it's good that at least you're getting something. I appreciate that. But in my experience with Anthony, I think that he probably doesn't, he's thinking that this is a capital purchase, which of course it is, and I suspect that he just doesn't understand how to account for the capital expense within a profit and loss statement.
Well,
I expect he just doesn't put it in there and waits for national office to do that, and of course they're not doing it.
Well, only
it means that your profit and loss statement is, you know, deceptive.
Right,
because you have $30,000 less than you actually have.
Right. But he did it all, somebody did it last year. That's what I said earlier, maybe he was waiting for National to do that, but it was in there last year in the same spot it should be in this year. So it's not like he's never seen it before, you know, because we had the same transmitter last, you know, basically the same exact thing. So this shouldn't be that, you know, that challenging. But I don't know. So, at least, we know that we're not doing so well. And basically, I'm the only one that looks at this thing anyway. So, we're running in the red already.
Okay, so the short version of my comment is also that I'm really, 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 really glad you guys made the down payment on a transmitter. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Okay, Barbara was next on the stack.
Well, I was just going to ask about the capital budget and if it was not obvious because of that or something. But that's,
yes, it's obvious.
That's okay. I don't have a question. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any other questions about LA or shall we move on? Okay, I'm going to go slightly out of order because I think that the move issues in D.C. and New York are probably a little more time-consuming. So let's go to Houston, and then we'll hit the Eastern Seaboard. So, Jim?
Okay, the two issues, or not issues, but the two areas in the last couple of months we had an ongoing dispute with the appraisal district on real property taxes. And it had gone over 2 years, so we'd had to prepay the taxes to contest them. And finally, that was, after changing the statute and going to court to enforce it, the station was able to get a refund of the $3,000 that we'd prepaid. So that came in, I think that was October, which was helpful. And then we did a silent campaign over Christmas with a goal of $30,000, and it brought in $34,000. Now I'm trying to remember, was New York that started that? Was it New York or L.A. that started that Christmas silent campaign? Because that's real successful.
It wasn't L.A. because we do an on-air.
We've been doing a thing, yeah. I'll be reporting on that, yeah.
Okay, because it's so simple. And it's just a bag of money that you get, you know, before the new year. And it just been real helpful to us. So that's the $30,000 we got on the tax return and tax refund, and then about $34,000 on the silent campaign. So we started the first couple of months of the new budget year, pretty positive.
Question?
Yeah, go ahead, Arpal.
You said it was $3,000 refund for the property tax, right?
Thirty.
Okay.
We pay $15,000 a year. We were appraised $15,000 a year for the real property tax on the building.
Okay.
And then it took 2 years to go through the whole process.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Bill, you have anything to add to Jim's report? Or, Jim, are you done with that report, or did you get interrupted in the middle?
No, I'm done.
Bill, you have anything to add?
Camel for staff.
Sorry, it takes me a minute to unmute when I'm streaming. I didn't have anything to add.
Oh, sorry, okay.
So, thank you.
Go ahead, and then we'll go to the staff.
No, I'm done. What Jim said sounded good.
Oh, okay. That was easy. So, Campbell, you are up.
Yes. Are you going to be having to do any battle with regard to property taxes in the future, or has your nonprofit status been accepted and you'll be removed from the rolls?
Oh, I hope it's done, but you never know. In theory, we should have precedence on the definition of the statute as it's changed, and that brought in nonprofit community radio. So hopefully that should be a done deal, and we just won't have to battle it every year from here on.
I think to avoid any kind of charges such as you faced this last time, it may be a good idea to get in touch with anybody in the either CFO's office or the Office of Taxation and Revenue to sit down with the head of that office and, go over the decision that you were able to get this time, and then to get a mutual understanding before, the issue of bills are sent out so that you can be removed from the rolls, because it's just going to be an unnecessary delay and exercise and, cost to deal with into the future when since your building is being used for a nonprofit purpose and it's not going to be changing, you should be thereby off of the rolls permanently.
So
I would suggest that you just do that and save some hassle in the future.
Okay.
If you need any help on that, I'm glad to do it. Because that's what my nonprofit does, is to fight taxes.
This is Bill. I forgot one thing, too, so put me back on the stack, please.
Okay, you're back on the stack. Barbara is next.
In every jurisdiction is probably a little different, but if I'm not mistaken, our business manager has to file a form every year to verify that the property is still being used as it was. So maybe this kind of review that Campbell is recommending, you'll find out if there's something you have to do every year to, keep your status.
Okay. Yeah, we can check on it.
Okay. Bill is next.
I forgot to mention that we have our next fund drive, on-air fund drive. It's going for about 2.5 weeks, starts on January 23rd.
Ah, so that answers the question of things are not, as of yet, synchronized. Okay. We'll see how all that goes.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
Okay, thanks for that. That was part of what I was hoping to kind of find out. Okay, good. Any other questions about Texas? Okay, I think that brings us to Washington. So we will start off with whatever Marcus wants to contribute, and then I know Campbell will have an update on the move. Remember that we are in open session, and if there's closed session aspects to what you want to say, just let us know that so we will dip back to it when we go to closed. And, Marcus?
Okay. So I must say I marvel at the amount of information that other treasurers have. We have no sort of information flow and nothing like that. And in addition, our business manager is left and took another job and only works 10 hours a week, evenings and weekends. So getting information is quite a challenge.
Yeah.
We did just have a successful fund drive. It was original goal was 160. They dialed it back to 130. And I believe we made over 160, which was very encouraging. Now, as part of that, a small amount, I believe last time I checked, about 20,000 was conditional pledges, because, as you may know, we've had some rather drastic grid changes, and there's been quite a bit of community uproar about it. And so Some of our supporters have made their pledges conditional on the grid changes being rolled back and the removal of the general manager. A small amount, it's probably no more than 20% certainly, maybe less than that.
The other issue,
I was surprised to find out, I just checked development folks about premiums, and I was told that we are way behind in purchasing premiums. So we just had a fund drive in December, and obviously we had one in the fall, and we've yet to purchase the premiums from the fall drive, but we offered premiums for the December drive. So that's a bit of a predicament, I think, to noodle through. Those are the main points. Obviously, the move is looming on everyone's mind, and I will turn that over to Campbell.
Okay, Campbell.
Okay. The problems with the move, and the only problems we're having are with Pacifica. And first off, and this is something that maybe someone might have an impact on, for over a month we've been trying to get the income statements for the period ending September 30th, and we need that in order to be able to get our security deposit to provide for the facility that we are relocating to. And that is a very important thing to have. We finally got the sublease signed December 28th, when about a month late. That we need to have the fully executed one for our current landlord to extend our time. Now, as you folks can tell, if you've kept track of it, we were supposed to have moved by December 31st, but I think we've got goodwill on our side with regard to our current landlord, plus the major tenant in the building, which is the city paper. They at least my last reckoning, have been making no motions toward a move. The whole matter of the conversion of the property went to zoning. I believe it was first week in December, if I recall correctly, was when it went to a zoning hearing. And then so far as the disposition of it, in my experience with zoning, they are not the fastest entity in district government and so far as rendering decisions. But, still we are looking to move before too long. Also, we have an attractive relocation. Our engineer, the engineering firm that we have, is an entity that can do a fine job at a very low price and do it with regard to digital. But there's apparently some reluctance that our IED has in regard to wanting to get some Pacifica people involved in the process, which, frankly, is just not a professional way that you do business, So we do have a few glitches inside of Pacifica to work out, and once that's done, I think that we'll be able to move forward without any further delay. Thank you. Any questions?
I have one. I don't know about the rest of the group. Does anyone else have a question or a comment?
Well, I have a question that's some kind of minor. Do you know when this all these things with the national office, the ED, are going to be discussed?
Well, discussed.
Or is there an opportunity?
Resolved is something else.
Mm-hmm.
And what we would like to have would be you know, have it resolved. I don't know when we're going to get, you know, we've asked for the September 30th income statements for over a month. We're very late in getting signature on the sublease agreement, and that's in the hands of the landlord. So that's, you know, something that we expect they'll be turning around in rather promptly. The other things are just working out details within Pacifica to move things forward in a business-like manner. I hope that answered the question.
Okay. Are there any other questions or comments for the SAC besides me?
Well, I would like to continue with just one little comment.
Sure.
I can see why it sounds problematic to have some of Pacifica staff working with these people and not, it isn't professional. It'd probably go a lot better to have the professionals come in and make the installation. But I was trying to think of what would be gained by doing this other than adding confusion. And I don't know if it could be managed well. It certainly would be good for our crew to be schooled in what is going to be there that they might have something to do with, you know, fixing or hooking up stuff later. I don't know. I was just trying to think of what good reason there would be for doing that.
Bill for the stack.
If you come up with one, please let me know.
Well, that was all I could think of just there, Frank Campbell.
I think if we get into this too much more, it should be an executive session.
I don't think we're quite there, Alex, but I hear you, and yes, and I wanted to make a comment on the same item. Is there anyone else who wants to go first?
Okay.
Bill.
Okay, our Paul and Bill. Okay, our Paul, go ahead.
Okay, very, very basically, so you've got the place. Now, you say you've signed a sublease, so this is being sublet, and that's cleared. That's going to be okay. There are no problems with that. And the moving expenses you expect to be really covered, and so all you need is to get some stuff expedited out of Pacifica, and everything will move, and there's no more negotiation going on in D.C. with or Maryland with landlords one way or another or anything like that. So once you get this squared away within Pacifica, bang, you start hauling stuff to a new place. That's it?
No, you have to do the work for the final build-out. The facility, as I had shared previously some time ago, we've got four studios that are set up and whatnot like that, but there's a final build-out of our consoles that will need to be in there. And what the proposal is that we've received from the engineering firm is something that is well within the context of the funds, the dedicated funds that we have, restricted funds that we have available to pay for it. So, you know, there's no problem there. However, it does take time to, you know, finalize that kind of work, even though, you know, it's soundproof studios, they've got the basic cabling in and whatnot like that, but we still have to put our satellite dish up on the roof. We have to, you know, do other sorts of things, our transmitters, etc. The one thing that's very nice about the facility is that it is already furnished, and for our board members, you will know that the Exhibit B that we had shared in the sublease agreement had a listing of all the equipment that we have there, which will, you know, provide everything we need for the studios plus our staff complementing. So we're in excellent shape in that regard. But it will take time to get the work done. Now, one thing is that if we have Pacifica people involved, then we're going to have to pay for the room and board for the Pacifica people. We would have to pay for their lodging, transportation, etc. All of these are costs that we would not be incurring otherwise, plus which, if that were to be a requirement, which seems to be very unusual, I mean, when you take your car to the shop to have it fixed by, say, the dealer that you bought it from, the dealer does the work, you don't say that, well, I'd like to have Joe put in the water pump, and, you know, that's that'll be okay. I mean, you have warranty problems, etc. And this would be a firm that's located in the D.C. area that would be doing the work and would be accountable for any warranty work, any subsequent work that would need to be done. We wouldn't be having a problem with, you know, who did this particular piece of it and who did that particular piece. We would, you know, it would just function in a normal business-like fashion.
Okay.
But, you know, Pacifica is rather unique in its approach.
Campbell? Okay, let me just give you a time check because that was kind of long. Bill's next on the stack, and then I'm on the stack. Bill, go ahead.
Well, I'll be brief, and again, some of this is probably, it may end up getting personnel and involved in executive session material, but I mean, I don't know the specifics you're talking about, Campbell, but I do know that, you know, the main thing is to get the work done and get it done right and done well and not spend more money than you need to. And it's really easy to spend a huge amount of money and not end up with anything that works any better than somebody else can do. And I don't know specifics of what you're talking about, but, you know, we've got some really good people in Pacifica. And I wouldn't disparage them just because they don't have high dollar price tags on them. So,
what I'm doing.
Okay, I guess I just need to, you know, get more details if you're, I don't understand why you're complaining, but if you want to complain about it, I guess we need to do that in executive session so we can get the specifics.
Yeah, this is Tracy. I'm going to go ahead now and take my turn on the stack because I have a little bit of information here. I just want to remind everyone that we did during the WPFW budget have a rather extensive conversation about this move and how it was going to be implemented. And we did have Pacifica staff, the technical director, visit us and give us a fairly comprehensive outline of what was planned and how it was planned in order to get this move done within the admittedly limited amount of money that we have to work with. One of the things that needs to be, you know, reminded, which I think we often forget, was that WPFW's transmitter entirely failed, I believe it was a year and a half ago, and it was actually patched together temporarily with equipment borrowed, I guess permanently borrowed at this point, from WMNF in Tampa. So the requirement to keep a significant amount of money free to replace that transmitter because it barely works as it is and a move is a significant amount of stress on a transmitter is significant, and what's being presented is sort of that Pacifica is being unreasonable, and I'm not sure that's entirely true. I think Pacifica may be being, you know, paying attention to the full extent of the equipment needs in order, and if, in fact, you have to replace an Armstrong transmitter with a new solid-state transmitter, then basically a significant chunk of your moving money just vanished, just evaporated. My understanding is that basically what we're discussing is the difference between using old digital consoles and a combination of digital and analog consoles. And one is not inferior to the other. And in fact, there is a lot of engineering wisdom to the effect that a digital analog combo can be much more reliable than a fully digital console, and I do know something about this, so I think the aspersions that are being made about lack of professionalism and so on aren't really getting to the heart of the issue, which is that we have a significant need to replace a transmitter, and that while analog is an older technology, when you're talking about consoles, it is often in some ways a more reliable technology. It's not necessarily a step downwards. I do think there's advantages to all digital consoles. They require less staff time, for one thing. And so your engineering workload goes down substantially. And so there's good points and there's bad points. And if you perhaps had an unlimited amount of money or you didn't
need to replace your transmitter almost immediately, then it might be something to consider. Under the circumstances, though, I think it's reasonable to at least look at other options, and I think that's all that's happening.